In his book, Good to Great, author Jim Collins compares the breakthrough of an organization going from one level of effectiveness to the next to the image of a flywheel. He says this, picture a huge, heavy flywheel, a massive metal disc mounted horizontally on an axle about 30 feet in diameter, 2 feet thick, and weighing about 5,000 pounds. Now imagine that your task is to get the flywheel rotating on the axle as fast and long as possible. And pushing with great effort, you get the flywheel to inch forward, moving almost imperceptibly at first. And you keep pushing, and after 2 or 3 hours of persistent effort, you get the flywheel to complete one entire turn. And you keep pushing, and the flywheel begins to move a bit faster. And with continued great effort, you move it around a second rotation. You keep pushing it in a consistent direction, 3 turns, 4, 5, 6. The flywheel builds up speed, 7, 8. You keep pushing, 9, 10. It builds momentum, 11, 12, moving faster with each turn, 20, 30, 50, 100, then at some point breakthrough. The momentum of the thing kicks in your favor, hurling the flywheel forward, turn after turn, whoosh, its own heavy weight working for you. You're pushing no harder than during the first rotation, but the flywheel goes faster and faster. Each turn of the flywheel builds upon work done earlier, compounding your investment of effort 1,000 times faster, 10,000, 100,000. The huge, heavy disc flies forward with almost unstoppable momentum. I really believe the case could be made that for many reasons, our church is poised to experience a breakthrough kind of year. And this morning I want to explain that position from several key passages of Scripture, along with an analysis of where we are and an explanation of where we're going, with hopes that when we're done this morning, you're going to say, I need to be part of that. And I want to be part of that. And by God's grace, I intend to be part of that. And with that in mind, open your Bible, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 29 this morning. In Jeremiah chapter 29, that's on page 559 of the front section of the Bible that's under that chair in front of you if you need that. So Jeremiah chapter 29, or page 559 of the front section of the Bible under the chair in front of you. If you've been around our church for any period of time, you know that on one of the first Sundays of the year, I always come back to this discussion of why are we here and where are we going and how do you fit in? And obviously, a lot of it's going to be different because our situation is different. But we think that it's crucial for every person on the team to have a clear, biblical, practical, and compelling set of answers to those questions. Why even are we here? Why'd you get up? And where are we going? What's the plan? Where are we heading? And how do you fit in? Now, as you can probably already tell, I'm fairly fired up about all this. I have honestly preached this message 500 times in my brain in the last couple of weeks, and it needs to get out. So thank you for allowing that to happen. I've recently been reading a book about Teddy Roosevelt, and I'll try not to use the word bully in every other sentence, but there are a lot of reasons to really be bully about 2013. In fact, I would encourage you to do this. You know how sometimes when you're listening to someone talk, you make little tally marks of certain things? Like how many times Steve uses bad grammar, there's a tally. Or how many times I say, oh, there's another tally. Well, how about keeping a running list this morning of reasons why we could anticipate this to be a breakthrough kind of year? And, of course, all within the confines of crying out for God's blessing and enablement. But why should we be bully about all of this? Well, the first answer is because we believe we have a mission that flows right out of the Word of God. Our mission is to glorify God by winning people to Jesus Christ and equipping them to be more faithful disciples. And by the way, I should probably explain that little graphic. That's not a flywheel, okay? That's something I'm going to talk to you about later on. But we went ahead and put it on the PowerPoint slide right now to, well, drive you crazy. And that's part of my plan for this year, so we might as well just get at it. But the mission of Faith Church is to glorify God by winning people to Jesus Christ and equipping them to be more faithful disciples. We could literally spend the rest of our time simply talking about the meaning of each one of those words, because our church family chose each one of them very carefully based on what we understand the Scripture to teach about the purpose of the church. From passages like this, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that means if we're organizing our thoughts and our desires, our words, our actions as a church family this year around that grand purpose of glorifying Him, then we can expect God to bless us. See, when the flywheel of your life is on the track that God has laid, you better believe it's going to be far easier to push than if it's out in the middle of a muddy cornfield of selfishness and sin. This concept of glorifying God, it is fundamental to all that we seek to do around here. We see that same emphasis repeatedly in Ephesians chapter 1, and where Paul says we ought to live, here it is, to the praise of the glory of His grace. That fabulous theological concept is encapsulated in our very mission statement. That's what wakes us up in the morning. That's what organizes and motivates our efforts. It's amazement at His glory. Did you have that in your heart? To the praise of His glory. Amazement at His glory and a desire to know Him and make Him known. Or this great text, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and what? And glorify your Father who is in heaven. So there's the answer to the question, why are we here? It's to seek to glorify God by winning people to Jesus Christ and then equipping them to be more faithful disciples. And I believe whenever you adopt a mission that flows directly out of Scripture and therefore directly out of the heart of God, you can confidently believe that you're not the only one pushing on the flywheel. And there's a reason to be bullied about 2013. Now, bring it down more practically and more specifically. Every year our church adopts an annual theme that provides direction for what we're trying to accomplish together. And we put a lot of time into analyzing where we think we are and where we believe the Lord wants us to go. And we believe the theme that best articulates the path we're on this year is planning to grow. Planning to grow. That's what we intend to be all about in this coming year. From many different perspectives in a variety of ways, we are going to be planning to grow. Now, I'd like to organize all of this around five passages of Scripture this morning. And for sake of time, I'm going to give you the first four on the PowerPoint screen. And then we'll jump into the one that you've opened your Bible to, Jeremiah chapter 29. Here's the first one, though. Just think about this. In Proverbs 21:5, which says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. Look for breakthrough right there. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. And God's gone on record as saying that when hardworking people plan well, they can expect His blessing, right? And we never know for sure exactly what form that blessing is going to take. But according to Scripture, the result will be abundance. That sounds like breakthrough to me. If we plan well, now add this passage from a different corner, Colossians 1:28. We proclaim Christ, admonishing every man. Did you notice that? And teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present, third time, every man complete in Christ. Now, I'm going to talk to you more about these passages exegetically as we go along, by the way. But that one gives us the goal of the plan. See, planning to grow, the direction. What? Or in this case, who are we planning to grow toward? And that's another reason to expect breakthrough. Because God loves His Son. You agree with that? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so when you are trying to grow more in love with Him and more like Him and more glorifying to Him, you better believe the God of heaven and earth is going to help you push on that flywheel. He is bully about that, for sure. Now, here's another one that might surprise you a bit, and I'm just going to let you suck on it like a piece of hard candy in the corner of your mouth, and we'll chomp on it a little bit in a moment. But just think about this. Romans 7:18-20, what would this have to do with planning to grow? Where the Apostle Paul says, even as a mature, godly church planner, a very effective apostle, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I don't want, I'm no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. You say, what does that have to do with this? Well, if that passage is true, and it is, then every person in this room has some serious growing to do. See, that didn't sound like a compliment. It wasn't. If that is true, and it is, then every person in this room has some serious growing to do. Can we all give an uh-huh to that? Thank you very much. And we also better have a specific plan for what we're going to do to tame that beast, because this isn't going to happen by osmosis. A lot more on that in a few minutes. Now this next one, and if you know your Bible, think about the context of it already. I'll talk more about it in a moment, but just think about the verse, 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And there's another just piece of hard candy right now, but what had Peter been discussing in the previous two chapters that, if accomplished, would lead to those around you asking such a question? And how do you practically and specifically plan to sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart? Now, with those four corners already established in the discussion, let's read from our text. And just to get a bit of context, we'll start in verse 4, but I'm heading down to verse 7. Verse 4 of Jeremiah 29, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, here's the plan, and live in them, and plant gardens and eat of their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Here it is. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. And for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, don't let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and don't listen to the dreams which they dream. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Again, I'll set it contextually in a moment, but planning what you're going to do. Planning to grow. Seek the welfare of the city that I have sent you. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you too may have welfare. Now, let's organize the rest of our time around this idea. Three key ideas, three key areas in which Faith Church is planning to grow this year. Now, if you've been around this church, you kind of know my modus operandi, so just get used to this. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I will find a time, I will find a way to announce our theme, right? And then I'll find a way, a time, to announce the three key areas in which we're trying to accomplish that theme. Because I have the view that God's people need to be reminded from time to time. Isn't that right? So you're going to be hearing this over and over and over. So get used to this song. It's going to become music to your ears, don't you think? And so the three areas in which Faith is going to plan to grow this year, and I'm just going to tell you in advance, on purpose, I plan to spend the majority of our time this morning on the first one. So don't get all wound. He's going to be in so much trouble. He's going to miss the next service, blah, blah, blah. There's a plan. Just relax. Be mellow like me, okay? There's the plan. Three key areas in which Faith Church is planning to grow this year. It starts right here by continuing to discuss and refine and implement our discipleship process. You'll hear us use this phrase, planning to grow, hundreds of times this year. And on purpose, it can mean different things. That's what's going to make it so useful to us. But first and foremost, here's what it means. That we want to be and we need to be the kind of church where any person can walk through the doors and quickly be connected to resources that will help you become more of what God wants you to be. See, planning for you and planning for all of the rest of us to grow. So this year is not going to be talking about how bad the world is. I think churches set them up when they get into negativity about people who aren't even there to be the kind of group of people who aren't growing themselves. So this isn't about how we're better than the world or how we're going to try to push our legislative agenda on somebody else by political force, blah, blah, blah. It's not planning for them to grow, because judgment begins where? Yeah, at the household of God. So our chief concern is, how does God want me to change? And what plans can I and should I put in place to be sure that progress is made in my spiritual walk this year? Now, let's break that down. It starts by recognizing Christian growth is a process. See, the Lord could have designed salvation to be, as soon as you trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, you were immediately and completely transformed, right? With no struggle, no effort on your part at all. And if that were the case, there would be no need for a plan, because the process would be easy. The process would be instantaneous. Do you believe that God is powerful enough that He could have designed the process that way if He chose? Absolutely. But as soon as we open the pages of Scripture, we learn that while the decision to trust Christ as Savior and Lord occurs at a point in time, once and forever, becoming more pleasing to God as a Christian is a lifelong endeavor. True? Which is why we would read a verse like this, Philippians 2:12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not also in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Here it is. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, think of this. Our confidence in that resides in the sufficiency of the resources God has provided for our growth. So, yes, it is a process. And, yes, I have to be involved in working out my salvation with fear and trembling. But if you know your Bible, you might have already thought, please keep reading because there's another half of that verse. That's right. Paul went on to say, for it's God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So wait a minute then. In the process, who's working, God or me? What's the answer? Yeah, both. Both is the answer. But I'm fairly certain God's going to do his part. Would that be true? So if there's going to be a hang-up in the process, it's probably going to be, yeah, go ahead and say it. It'll feel better. You, no question about that. But if God is involved in pushing this flywheel forward, you can approach. Don't be intimidated by planning to grow. Because if God is involved in pushing your flywheel forward, then there's confidence involved in this. That's why Peter says, seeing that his divine power, this isn't a human thing, okay? These aren't human resolutions. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything. Got that? Pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. It probably won't surprise you to learn that we're going to be encouraging every person attending our church to develop a PIP. That's right, a personal improvement plan. Articulating the ways you're planning to grow spiritually this year. But the reason that's achievable, we're not just talking about having a plan, we're talking about accomplishing a plan, is because you can believe that God will bless your efforts to change. That's some good news, huh? And that's also why we're not afraid to include everybody in the journey. And maybe even those who might say that until recently they were living far away from God and his word. Also, you noticed in those passages that I read, there's a fair amount of outreach involved in those passages. So hopefully we're going to see a number of people come to know Christ this year and become part of our efforts. Do you agree with that? Well, what about all the baggage they're going to bring? What about all the baggage that we already have? Well, the bottom line is the resources of heaven are available for our growth. And if that's true, then everybody can be included in the plan because nobody is beyond the hope of God's grace. Do you believe that? I hope you do. Now, here's the other side of that equation. No one has reached the place where growth is unnecessary. See, somebody might say, I see where this is going. Faith's had a lot of new people become part of the church in this past year, and so now you're all worried and concerned about the spiritual vitality of those who are new. Not exactly. We're concerned about the spiritual vitality of every last one of us. Isn't that right? Absolutely. That's where Colossians 1:28 fits into this. We proclaim him, admonishing whom? And by the way, you know, I'm kind of feeling admonished right now. Well, good. That means I'm doing my job and I can collect my next paycheck with integrity. Because that's what that text says. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. Here's the goal. So that we may present every man complete in Christ. That's why we're planning to grow. Now, if you would say, well, I don't need to grow because I'm already complete in Christ. Well, la-di-da, please stand up right now, and we'll love to hear about your wonderfulness. But assuming you would not stand up and make that statement, which we would have to confront you about pride, lying, and a whole bunch of other things. If you're not yet complete in Christ, then this is for everybody. We all have to, and we all get to, plan to grow. Now, notice this too theologically. Processes by their very nature require planning. Now, we're not going to get all engineering about this. I realize you look at the front cover of the bulletin, then I've already used the flywheel. Now I got that thing going on in the corner that I'm not sure what it is yet, but it's looking kind of engineering. Are you saying that it's just all some sort of a mechanical, man-made process? No, sanctification is not that, but there is process. There's plans. You saw that in our key text in Jeremiah. That was at the beginning of the Babylonian captivity. And the false prophets were telling the Jews who had been taken by force to Babylon that the captivity would be over in 2 years. They didn't need to make much of a plan. And God said through Jeremiah, no, it's going to be 70 years. And even when you're in a situation and a culture you don't like, you can still plan to make a difference for me, even in that condition. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you. And who among us is not in a position where there are some aspects of it we don't like? We feel like we're in exile, politically or vocationally or in our families, where there are at least some things that disappoint us or anger us or discourage us. And if you say, well, I can't grow because of my spouse, I can't grow because of my boss, I can't grow because of my political leaders, blah, 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 blah. Tell that to the captives of Babylon. We can still plan to grow in the midst of all of that. Now, already I hope you're beginning to formulate a plan. Are you doing that? By the way, I didn't mention, but at the back of your bulletin, at the back of your handout, there's this little thing that says, my takeaways. You see that? That's a place for you to write some of the applications of this message. And I hope you're starting to think already about some takeaways, formulating a plan. Here's an area of my walk with Christ that I'm going to need to develop this year. Or here's a habit that I know displeases God that I'm going to have to learn to stop this year. Or here's something about the way I communicate that needs to change. Or here's something about my work ethic. Or here's an area that lacks integrity. I mean, it could be a million things. But sanctification is a process, and processes by their very nature require planning. Now, let's bring that verse in from Peter. Here's the principle. Often the best way to seek and promote the welfare of the city is by working on practical holiness yourself. Remember, Peter said, be ready to give an answer to any person who would ask you a reason for the hope that is in you. Well, why in the world would anybody ever ask you that question? What is the context of those words that Peter gave? If you go back in the previous two chapters, the answer is how to be a godly citizen and how to be a godly employee or employer, how to be a godly husband or a wife. And as people around you see you walking out a plan to become progressively pleasing to God and more like His Son, the opportunities to speak for Him are going to naturally emerge. One of the best tools in the witnessing bag is the changed and changing life. And the only way that's going to happen for you is if you take time to plan when and how it's going to happen. That's why God wanted the exiles to seek the welfare of the city so they could be a bright light to the people in that wicked and pagan culture. Now, I've said a lot. Come up for air. Here's the big point. When you hear that phrase, planning to grow this year, and what that should mean to us, first of all, is our intent to continue to discuss, refine, and implement our discipleship process. Now, let's try to make that as practical as we can. Would you agree with me that our task as a church is to link men and women with appropriate resources to facilitate that growth, and then to provide mutual encouragement and accountability as the process unfolds? Do you buy that? What we mean, I know it's a long sentence, but that's all very, very important. We believe God wants us to be an equipping church. See, it's not just about the what. Here's what God wants you to become. It's equally about the how-tos. Here's all the resources. Here's all the principles. Here's all the help available to help you get to that place. Now, maybe this metaphor will help, because I realize there's so many different things going on around this church. It's hard to get your arms around it. So maybe this metaphor will help. Faith Church is very much like a big gyroscope. You know what a gyroscope is? There's a lot of effort. There's a lot of energy. Hopefully, there's a lot of progress. But when you think about our discipleship plan, about how we try to accomplish that discipleship gyroscope, don't get lost. There's like three little gyroscopes inside. We try to accomplish that in three ways, three other areas that are spinning as well. And that's helping us move forward. Now, don't get lost in the threes. I told you, when we talk about planning to grow, we've got three key ways that we're going to do that. I'm going to hit these last two in a minute. I'm still on the first one, this whole matter of making disciples. And we're going to hit the pop-down menu. And I want you to think about, how does this church go about the matter of trying to help people become more like Christ? And where do you fit into all of that? So think about the Faith Church gyroscope. How do we try to accomplish this task of discipleship? Three ways. One of them is through soul care. Soul care, that's led by Pastor Brent Oakwood. And Pastor Oakwood is going to be moving away from direct college ministry. And that's because we're in the process of hiring Nick Lees. Nick is one of our soon-to-be seminary graduates, and he's going to be leading Purdue Bible Fellowship and the Discipleship Ministries of Faith West. That frees Pastor Oakwin to lead us at both of our campuses in the very ministries I'm talking to you about this morning, meaning soul care, organizing resources to help every person at Faith grow spiritually, and normal discipleship. Now, there's all sorts of activities and personnel that fall under that heading. I think what Titus does, up in a tree with no shoes, there's Titus. I think what Titus does helps us in becoming more passionate followers of Christ. So that's part of soul care. Certainly our children's ministries. We want children's ministries in place that help children want to follow Christ, do we not? That's part of soul care. What Johnny does with our young people, and we're in a process of bringing Johnny onto our pastoral staff, but all of that is part of soul care. We could add what Faith Christian School does, and we could, if I took the time to do so, bring all sorts of godly lay people who work in these ministries, all sorts of other staff members. All of that and much more fits under this heading of soul care. The resources to help people grow. We could talk about adult Bible fellowships, and I could show pictures of all of their teachers and class leaders. And we could talk about men's point man groups or ladies' Bible studies, our prayer ministry, Faith Community Institute, on and on. All of that is soul care. Here's another crucial piece of that, a resource that we want to provide for you and always have. It's the matter of our deacons' care ministry. Our deacons were led for many years by Dr. Bob Smith. He and Leona have been faithful people in this church forever. Leona is now in failing health, and Doc has had to resign from his position as chair of the deacons in order to care for his wife, and he sees that as a great delight. And we applaud his godly leadership in that particular phase of his life. Now, the deacons have elected Joe Blake to be the chair of their deacons. And as we always have, we continue to have each person who's a member of our church divided up among our 33 elected deacons. And so if you're a member here, you're on a deacon's care group. And that deacon is looking for opportunities to shepherd you. And he's looking for opportunities to connect you with resources to help you grow and help you serve. And Joe is especially passionate about that. And so what that means is Joe and Brent, along with everybody else I mentioned and a whole lot of people I didn't, are working especially on this matter of soul care, and we are planning to grow in that way this year. Now, already, I hope some takeaways are coming for you. One of them is you might say, you know, part of my growth plan this year, it needs to be to get involved in an adult Bible fellowship, or it needs to be to get involved in a small group. It needs to be when my deacon calls me and leaves a message on my goofy answering machine because I never answer my phone anymore. Instead of screening my deacon out, I'm going to call him back because I understand I need accountability and I want people who are helping me try to grow. See, this is a two-way street. All God's people got that? We can do everything in the world to provide all sorts of resources to help people grow, but at some point you have to decide which one of those resources you need to benefit from this year. And that's part of the improvement plan. There's also the matter of not just being a consumer of resources, but also being a provider of resources. Is that a fact? Because if you want us to be A-plus in worship and God gave you a voice, maybe it's time for you to contact Titus. And planning to grow by using your musical gifts in service to the body. If you want to have A-plus children's ministries, and we all do, right? We want our kids to be taught the Word of God and discipled. Then part of that, if you have that desire, then it's also a willingness to participate in that way. You say, well, I'm a little afraid of it. Time to grow. Or I got this going on or that going on. I'll tell you what, bring me your weekly schedule, and you and I can together find all the ways that you waste time. And you might say, well, that did not me. Remember, I'm doing my job. I keep doing it. I might ask for a bonus today. My job is to admonish you. Many of God's people waste time. Fact. Facebook, Pinterest person. Don't be giving me the I don't have any time. And I'm friends with most of you. I see how much time you spend on it. And so the bottom line is, say, I'm unfriending you. Yeah. So soul care. Soul care. Now what about when soul care is not enough in a particular situation? That's a great question, and the answer is that's when biblical counseling becomes part of the equation. Pastor Rob Green leads that particular part of our ministry. And here's the bottom line. There's so much I could say about this, but It may be that for some people who hear this message, part of your personal improvement plan is to say, we're going to get some counseling this year. And listen, let's demystify that. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not saying that you're odd or strange. You're standing in line with the Apostle Paul in Romans 7. And if you're stuck in a particular way, there's nothing wrong with saying, we're going to get some coaching. We're going to get some help for a limited period of time to get over that hump. And there's so much I could say about that. But husbands, if your wife has been saying to you, honey, let's get some counseling help, and you have resisted, you need to get over that like today. In fact, bring me your bulletin right after the service. I will write on your personal improvement plan, sign up for counseling so we can get some help. And don't let pride or stubbornness stop you, especially if your wife, for crying out loud, is asking for those kind of resources in your marriage. We could also, under that heading of biblical counseling, talk about Vision of Hope and the marvelous job that Jocelyn and her team are doing. We could talk about Safe Haven and bringing that online in just a couple of weeks now. So the bottom line is, when we think about discipleship, we think about soul care, we think about biblical counseling, and then also we think about outreach and assimilation. That's led now by Pastor Folden, also your service pastor. He's moving over from the community center to serve on our church center staff, overseeing outreach and assimilation. You say, what does that mean? It means these things. It means his job is to equip everybody in our church to be passionate and able to share your faith well with the people in your sphere of influence. That's outreach. It's also a matter of leading us to be sure that when someone moves in around us, that we've welcomed that person to the neighborhood well. It's also a matter of helping us be sure if somebody visits here that we're going to follow up on that person well in a friendly fashion. It's encouraging people, shepherding them to become members of Faith Church. That's what Dustin is all about. You say, well, who's minding the community center? Another person we've just hired, Andre Ballard. And I'm really fired up about Andre. He's been with us a couple of weeks now. I'm hoping to move him into a position on our pastoral staff over time. He is leading our Faith East Community Ministries. Josh Greiner, another one of our graduates of our seminary soon to be, is going to be leading our Faith West Community Ministries. Bob and Joan LeFew, I'm continuing to lead our community leagues and all of that. Brian and Carolyn Barrett leading Project Jerusalem, and there's so many other things that I could talk about, outreach. But I hope the takeaways are starting to flood your mind, are they? Where you would say, you agree that this church needs to be an incubator for spiritual growth, and these emphases of soul care and biblical counseling and outreach and assimilation are crucial to helping us live lives that are glorifying to God, and therefore you want a plan to grow. To formulate a plan both to benefit from these resources and also to contribute to them. Now, I mentioned at the beginning we were going to devote most of our time to the first emphasis. I accomplished that, did I not? I want to mention the last two with the few minutes we have together, and then I'm going to tease a lot of this out much more in the coming weeks. But we also plan to grow by organizing and launching our new cluster of ministries at Faith West. Obviously, one of the big changes that's going to happen around here this year is we're about to become a two-campus church. In some ways, we've been experiencing that already with our 10-15 service, which has worked out so well. But it ought to take our breath away when we think about all the ways we're going to be able to serve God as a result of Faith West coming online this year. So much that could be said. Let me just mention a few. The big one today, the big headline is just thank you. Thank you. Honestly, our bank was skeptical about whether our church family would follow through given the state of the economy on our capital campaign, or whether people would just shift their regular giving to the capital campaign. Our goal for this first year, the first 12 months, was a little over $2 million. Our church family faithfully met that and exceeded it, along with the regular giving to all of our other ministry endeavors being fully funded as well. And I just want to say thank you. And that's another reason that I believe we are on the cusp of a breakthrough year. Yes, we have a biblical mission. Yes, we have a great staff. We have hundreds and hundreds of committed lay people. But we're talking about a church family filled with people who are the real deal. Not flashy, but faithful. And I did not use this text to motivate people to consider giving to the capital campaign, but I'm going to read it to you now. As a result of the faithfulness of the people of God, look for breakthrough This is the promise of God. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will what? It will reap bountifully. Everyone must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. That's breakthrough. So that always having all sufficiency in everything. You hear it? You may have an abundance for every good deed. As it's written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. I love this. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. And because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ, for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And I believe the statistics would suggest that God would say that exact same thing to the majority of the members attending Faith Church. Thank you. Let's plan to grow as a result of what God has already done in us. Now, what are some takeaways? I want to encourage you to pray. Pray for the safety of the workers right now. And pray for our neighborhood relations. Pray for PBF and all that we're organizing with that. For our biblical counseling ministries that will take place over there. Our community ministries, our preschool, our worship services. We need to be bathing this plan to grow with faithful prayer and then to act. And we need to determine who from our present church family is going to be worshiping over there. You're not going to a different church. You're just going to a different worship service for the same church. And we also need to determine who from our present church family is willing to serve over there. But here's the bottom line. It's going to require a significant amount of energy and attention devoted to launching these new ministries with excellence. Your involvement may be one of your takeaways as we plan to grow together. And then lastly, you heard me talk about this practically every Sunday last year. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Well, now it's here. When we think about planning to grow, we're developing our next five-year strategic ministry plan together. And I'm so glad for Bryce Hufford being willing to lead this effort. I'm going to be saying a lot to you about this in the coming weeks, but here's what it's going to take in order to get this job done well. One is a willingness to acknowledge ways we need to get better. We have to live in Romans 7. And that means we're going to ask for criticism, and we are going to take a hard look at who we are. We're going to get input from people inside and outside of our church. We are thinking of creative ways to generate ideas from persons. So a willingness to acknowledge ways we need to get better. Broad participation by the entire church family. I believe this, that perhaps the best ministry idea for the next 5 years may currently reside in the heart of the shyest person in the room. And that means we need to do everything that we can to hear from one another. And then lastly, hear this, a willingness not only to talk and plan, but also to be part of the plan's accomplishment. Here's the bottom line. Where do we hope to be at the stewardship celebration in November? First answer, in heaven. If Jesus came, we'll be happy with that if we didn't have to do any of this, right? We'd be all right with that. But if that's not the plan, here's the deliverables. To be in a better place in our spiritual life and our ability to help others because we plan to grow. With Faith West launched well and functioning successfully with demonstrable fruit because we plan to grow. And with a new 5-year strategic ministry plan because we intend to continue to grow.